Chris Coleman did a great job for you. In fact, you know, I almost decided not to tell anybody. I just say, hey, Chris, and, you know, we'll just go on there. Chris Coleman is not as into the recruiting as you are, but he's got his finger in a lot of pies over there at Tech Sideline, so he handled it well. We talked about the commitment. Of course, we'd been talking for 2 weeks prior when you were on, Chris Horn, about Zach Luckett, and he did make it official. Let me just get your opinion. That is number 14 for the Hokies?
Yes, number 14. It's 15, actually, I think, if you count Todd Nolan, who's at Fork Union and who will sign at with Virginia Tech in February as well. But
he's still part of last year's class in my mind. 14th new, let's put it that way.
Yep, exactly right, exactly. And I think Zach's a pretty good pickup for Virginia Tech. It's kind of his recruitment's maybe been a little bit quiet just because Virginia Tech has been the favorite for a long time and toward the end of the summer and kind of heading into the fall, Virginia Tech had kind of separated itself from the pack. And, you know, so it wasn't too much information going around on Zach just because, not, you know, he was pretty much down to Virginia Tech and then waiting to see which other schools he would be taking a look at. And Boston College emerged as a school that he was pretty serious about. But Zach is a 6'3", 205-pound, he plays tailback, actually, for Holy Spirit High School out of Absecon, New Jersey. And a very good athlete. And I know talking to his coach, Coach Walsh has mentioned the one thing that really stands out to him about Zach in terms of why he thinks the college coaches really, really liked him a lot, and he had double-digit scholarship offers, I believe, was that Zach is a versatile player, and he's got physically he's very gifted, not just in terms of his athleticism, but in terms of his body. He's already got a kind of a college-sized body right now. And he's got good speed, 4.5 in the 40, and could end up at a variety of different positions. It depends on how he develops physically on the next level. Virginia Tech recruited him as a wide receiver. That's what he wants to play initially, and that's what he wants to play at Virginia Tech. And he's looking forward to preparing hard. I know in talking to Zach, he mentioned that he was going to work on his speed. A little bit more and work on some route running and things like that. He did play some receiver a little bit in high school, but certainly not as much since he played tailback primarily. So a very good pickup. He's rated a 3-star prospect by the recruiting services, Rivals.com and Scout.com. And I think a very, very solid pickup for Virginia Tech and a guy that I think certainly could be a very good wide receiver on the next level, and if receiver doesn't work out, he's got so much athleticism and his size, it would be interesting to see where he could end up, especially with, you know, Virginia Tech, the way they can use athletes on the defensive side of the ball, where he could end up at a variety of different positions on that side if it was to come to that. But first, just in terms of him as a wide receiver, I think he's got that big body and he's fast, and he sounds like he's a competitive player as well. So I think he'll do just fine at the wide receiver position.
You know, since you've been gone too, in the old "you can't get them all" category, no surprise really that both Lansdowne receivers, Percy Harvin and Damon McDaniel, went out of state. I'm a little surprised they went to the same school. I don't know them, so I probably shouldn't say this, but I thought maybe Damon McDaniel would want to go somewhere where he wouldn't be seen as Percy Harvin's sidekick, because the kid certainly looks like he's a good receiver in his own right.
Right.
But did the decision for both of them to go to Florida surprise you?
Not truly. I don't think that issue, I guess, in terms of playing together really was an issue one way or the other. I don't think Damon really thought about it in terms of he wants to get away from Percy, or thought about it in terms of that he really wants to play with Percy. It just happened. I think they really just both had a terrific official visit to Florida. I am maybe a bit surprised. It did come kind of early. I thought maybe Harvin may take a few more visits, but I thought McDaniel certainly seemed like he was primed to take at least a few more of his visits, and I thought Miami would be a player for him as well as possibly even LSU. But so I was a little bit surprised at the timing, but ultimately I think they, you know, in terms of their official visits to Florida, they both had an outstanding time. And the one thing I think Urban Meyer really has going for him is that he's got a certain system, and it seems like it is kind of similar to what Lansdowne does run, actually, in terms of Percy Harvin and Damon, for that matter, kind of lining up in different positions and being used in several different ways. And I think that was really appealing to them. one of the things that really stood out on the official visit, in addition to the time that they had, I think that was obviously the pretty key as well. But so I think just kind of in thinking about that, I think they thought it was a pretty good fit, and so in that respect, it wasn't too surprising that they ended up going to Florida.
Catch me up a little bit, Chris Horn. I try to keep up, and I took a few days off around the holiday weekend, and the last couple of days I've been trying to get up to speed. Now, the Roanoke Times does a ranking like you do, and it's similar but not the same. And in looking at their updated postseason rankings, they had Lucas Caporelli, the Robinson kid, who's in your rankings too. But when they listed his schools, Virginia Tech wasn't on there. And I had just met him like the week before in an official visit. Is your understanding, has he eliminated Tech, or was that just maybe... We all make mistakes. I'm not knocking the Roanoke Times, but I thought Caporelli was still in the hunt.
No, Lucas actually made an official visit to Virginia Tech on the weekend of the 9th, and I think Virginia Tech is, you know, from everybody that I've spoken with, they're certainly still in the mix for him. I know there was some talk early that he was going to try to, you know, I think heading out of state was looking like certainly like a distinct possibility, but Virginia is still very much in the mix. I think Virginia Tech is still very much in the mix. He's got an official visit to Wake Forest as well, so I think not typical Robinson, because there are certainly quite a few Robinson kids who have made early decisions, such as John Kinzer when he chose Virginia Tech. But I think in this case with Lucas, I think he'll probably get a signing day and take his official visit. Say he's got one lined up to Virginia as well, and then kind of go from there. We'll see how these visits kind of play out and see where he goes. He's always pretty good in terms of when I interview with him about kind of keeping things kind of close to the vest and not really giving away too much. So I think I did hear he had a good visit to Virginia Tech, but at this point it's kind of tough to name a leader, but I do believe Virginia Tech certainly is still in the mix for him.
Okay. Lou Eliade is another young man I met on a visit. He was checking into the hotel same as I was. Has he indeed committed to Penn State? Did I just completely miss that, or is that not quite true either?
No, I believe he has committed to Penn State, and I think he did it a couple days ago. And Penn State kind of has emerged recently. And the last time I spoke to him, which was about a week ago, Penn State was the team that he listed as his favorite, South Carolina being the school that was second at the time, and then Virginia Tech, which is interesting because Virginia Tech was in pretty good shape with him, I thought, early in the process, at least at the beginning of the fall. I know Lou took on an unofficial visit to Virginia Tech earlier in the year during the summer and had a really good time, went back for an official visit, had a really great time. And so Virginia Tech was in pretty good position there, but Penn State was kind of a school that kind of hung around a little bit. I know Notre Dame kind of popped up for Lou as a school that Lou was really interested in and wanted to take an official visit to, but Notre Dame decided to go in a separate direction. And so he decided to go to Penn State again. He had taken an unofficial earlier just for a game, and went back for an official visit just to kind of, I think he really wanted to take several visits to get a good idea of each particular school. And his visit to Penn State obviously went very, very well. He was hosted actually by A.Q. Shipley, who was down at the Blacksburg Nike camp a few years ago, not this past year, but the time it was there before. And A.Q.'s a very personal guy, and I had a chance to talk to him a couple times, and I could see A.Q. being a very, very good player host. And Lou had a good time there. He really enjoyed everything, and Penn State was kind of the leader. And, yeah, there were really no other schools kind of on his list. South Carolina did a really good job hanging in there. They sold playing time to him, and he did also have a really good official visit to South Carolina for the Alabama game, even though I believe it was a tough loss, but he came away really impressed with the program then, which kept them in it, and then they were able to sell him on playing time. But Penn State kind of, like I said, hung around, and he had a terrific official visit, and I think proximity to home probably played a little bit of a factor as well. I think it's closer to home, and I think that may have made a difference as well. So certainly Virginia Tech, I know, would have loved to have had him, but the Hokies are certainly in a good position with Hutch Eckerson at this point, along with NC State possibly, but in terms of trying to add that fourth offensive lineman to the class. So we'll see if they can land Mr. Eckerson. I'm sure a lot of people will be pretty happy down there in Blacksburg.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, the mood of the fans fluctuates in recruiting like it does with the fortunes on the team. Mm-hmm. You know, they get John Graves and Luckett. That's two pretty good gets. You know, they lose the two. Well, shouldn't say the two receivers, because I don't think anybody thought they were ever in the ballpark for for Harvin, but certainly McDaniel held that hope, and now Elides, and it's like, oh gosh, you know, we lost a game to Florida State. The sky is falling on the football team. But recruiting, I mean, geez, there's no way they get everybody they go after. 14 kids, Coach Beamer told us at Media Day, they're probably going to try to take a full class of 25, so they're barely over halfway. Of course, if they re-sign Nolan, which they will, that's 15. 10 to go, they're still in the hunt for some pretty good players. When we come back from break, Chris Horn, let's talk about a few of those. Let's try. This is a time of year where you and I always try to fill out the rest of the class, and sometimes we get it right and sometimes we don't.
Sounds good.
Let's make that clear up front. Whatever Chris and I say from this point forward tonight is a guess. Right, Chris?
That's right.
Somebody go on the internet and say, hey, Harris just said Jarrell Miller. Now we're guessing. That's the first guy I want to ask you about. I met him. I met his father. Was standing there watching an indoor practice, first practice back for the Gator Bowl, and chatted with him for a while, and he kept it close to the vest. I mean, everybody thinks that's automatic because of the pipeline. I mean, you know, most Highland Springs kids have gone there. I think he's going to end up there, but I am not at all certain, and I wouldn't put any money on it. What is your feel for Jarrell Miller and Virginia Tech right now?
Kind of same as you. I think, you know, I think that it looks like probably he will, you know, I would think he would, you know, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he ends up at Virginia Tech, and rightfully so. You know, he's developed a great relationship with the coaches and, you know, had a great official visit. And I spoke to his father. He said the official visit met expectations and, you know, he had a good time. But, you know, at the same time, I agree with you. I don't think it's a lock just because of the pipeline. I think Virginia's done a great job. It seems like North Carolina's done a great job. And even Florida and Tennessee, I think both have done a great job recruiting Jarrell. And I think it's going to be close. This one's going to be tough to call. I've said Virginia Tech, and basically I will pick Virginia Tech until Jarrell announces otherwise. But I will certainly say that, I wouldn't be surprised to see him go elsewhere, and I guess maybe some places that have been mentioned. You know, Virginia's been up there, and UNC's actually been mentioned a little bit recently as well. So we'll see. I think it's going to be a close decision, and if Virginia Tech pulls it out, certainly it's going to be close, and it's going to be a tough decision for Jarrell. I know Jarrell told me early in the process that, you know, he had no clue where he was going to go, and I believed him then, and I still think it's a tough decision. He's going to crank it out this week, and make his decision or announce his decision at the Army All-American Bowl on the 7th. So if I had to guess, I would say it comes down to Virginia Tech, Virginia, and UNC, and Tennessee as well. The only school I'd probably be surprised at would be Florida, although Jarrell's dad did tell me that location is not a factor here. So I guess in a sense maybe it wouldn't be that big of a surprise if he goes to Florida. But in terms of my guess, I would say either I do think location may be a factor for Jarrell once all is said and done. So we'll just have to see, but I guess I will go ahead and, in terms of the spirit of guessing, I would guess Virginia Tech, but at the same time preface that by saying that, you know, I think it's going to be a close decision.
Somebody will keep score on us and let us know how we did. I know the last time we went over your rankings, Chris, most of the top 10 was uncommitted, had a lot of ranked players thinking about going out of state. I know Tech usually does very well in state, but, you know, thus far its class is heavy out of state. Let me update the top 10, and then we'll talk about a few others. You know, Percy Harvin, number 1, Florida. Number 3, Chris Bell from Granby, Penn State, which was the case last time we talked. Of course, number 5, John Graves, the defensive end from Meadowbrook, has been on the show talking about his commitment to Virginia Tech. Damon McDaniel, number 6, also Florida. Brian Whitmore, the defensive end from Oscar Smith down in Chesapeake, is now a Maryland committee. Is that... Committee is, you know, the group of people. Committee. I wonder if that's a word. We'll have to look that up. He's now committed to Maryland. Let's say that. Number 10, Alex Stadler of Liberty Bealton, longtime commitment to Alabama. So at least I think I counted 4. We've already talked about Jarrell Miller. Highest uncommitted player, number 2, wide receiver of it all, Hazleton Hargrave. I'm thinking he goes south to one of the Florida schools, not Florida, which already has 6 receivers in its recruiting class.
Yeah, I think, I don't think, first of all, Vidal, I believe, is actually going to announce this week, this Friday, I believe, last I heard, but I need to confirm that. But he's, it's not going to be Virginia Tech. I don't believe, and I would think Miami. If I had to guess any school, I think Miami probably is going to be that school. USC is also in there in Southern California, and Penn State are the three schools I think under the most serious consideration. But if I had to pick, I think Miami would probably be the school, and then and also in the top ten, Brandon Miner is going to take an official visit to Virginia Tech on the weekend of January 20th. And he's the outstanding running back out of Verona High School, about 6 foot, 215-220 pounds. And Virginia Tech will be his final official visit before he announces a decision between or among Virginia Tech, Miami, Michigan, and Tennessee. And he's taken official visits to Tennessee first, and he went to Michigan and Miami this past earlier this month. And I talked to Verona's assistant Blanda Wolf earlier today. And Coach Wolf mentioned to me that, you know, Brandon's been pretty quiet with them in terms of, you know, possibly naming any leader, so they don't really have a read at this point. I know location is not a factor. I know Coach Wolf told me that Brandon's parents aren't pushing location as a factor. They just want him to be happy with whatever school he chooses. And so we'll just have to see. That's going to be a big weekend. I do think Virginia Tech's in a pretty good position. And certainly, if they can really impress him on that weekend, I think they definitely have a good shot to land him. Although I wouldn't count out Miami or Michigan, and Coach Wolf told me Tennessee certainly is still very much in the mix too. So,
well, let me say this about Brandon, and I probably shouldn't talk about this, but that's never stopped me before. When he does decide, we're probably going to have to really count on you. It's an interesting and unfortunate situation because we've always had a good working relationship. The folks at Verina at the Times-Dispatch, but they're not real happy with us right now. Brandon didn't make our All-Metro team. Now, it's a dilemma when you're in our position because he's clearly, you know, you have him ranked as the seventh best player in the state.
Right.
He's clearly one of the best players in the area, clearly one of the best running backs, but the All-Metro team is for those who had the best year, not for those who are the best players, and he was injured and only played four games, and we just didn't feel like playing less than half the season. We could put them on there, and they're not real happy with us, and I guess I see their point of view, but they got to see ours. I'm not so sure they're going to go out of their way to tell the Times-Dispatch when he makes a decision, so we'll be checking in with you, Chris. But I hear Tech is in pretty good shape with him, and that healthy, he is indeed real, real good.
Yeah, and absolutely. As you mentioned, he did miss about six games this year. He had a hip flexor injury and was able to come back, and Coach Wolf told me that the first couple games back, he did have to get back into football playing shape. But once he got back, he was, you know, the normal Brandon Miner, which has been super productive the past couple years, and he's just an outstandingly productive back. And one thing he is, a lot of people have him pegged as kind of a fullback on the next level. But Coach Wolf did tell me that all four schools that are his finalists are recruiting him as a tailback, so he will get a shot at tailback. And. And trust me, he's a heck of a tailback for Verina, and has been extremely productive since his sophomore season, and just had an outstanding career. It's unfortunate that he suffered that hip injury this year, but was able to make it back and did play very well in the games that he did play in.
Yeah, it's just an unfortunate situation. Those things always put us in the crosshairs, but I will always lean on the side of that. And All-Metro, it's like the Dudley Award is for the player of the year in the state, not the best player, and it's not always the same thing. I mean, Michael Vick was never even nominated for the Dudley, even though he was clearly the best. Heck, he was the best player in the country 2 years in a row.
Right.
You know, but 1 year Lee Suggs had 20-some touchdowns, and the other year Corey Moore was the Nagurski Award winner. It's a player of the year. So, like I say, I feel for Brandon Miner. He's a great player. He's All-Metro caliber. But anyway, I do think he'll end up in Tech. I don't think the other running back uncommitted in your top 10, Evan Royster from Westfield, I don't think Sean Glennon and Eddie Royal are going to be able to sway that one. I could be wrong, but I think he's headed elsewhere.
Yeah, I know Evan throughout the whole process has really been looking out of state, but last I heard, he does have an official visit set with Virginia Tech, but I need to I'm trying to get an update with Evan to see if that's true and if he is indeed going to take an official visit to Virginia Tech. So we'll see. If he does take a visit, then I would have to think that Virginia Tech thinks they have a pretty legit shot at landing him, and that obviously he likes Tech. But for the most part, just judging on what he's been thinking about throughout the process, I think he's really probably leaning towards out of state right now.
I'll tell you, it's just impressive. I'll go over this real quick, Chris, and then we'll let you go because it's been another great TechSideline.com recruiting report. going over your top 30, there's a few kids that have committed to Virginia and Virginia Tech, of course, but it points out, I did a story earlier in this year, and I know others have too, it points out that Virginia has become sort of a recruiting focal point everywhere. You know, you've got, listen to the schools in here, Akron, Kent State, there's a Virginia, Miami, Virginia, Virginia Tech, Oklahoma, Alabama, Maryland, Florida, Penn State, another Florida. People are noticing Virginia, and I think by the time that top 30 finishes out, a couple, you know, and I know a couple people who were in here almost ranked, UNC, I think there'll be a lot more states represented by the time that list is done.
Yeah, I agree. It's, you know, the state of Virginia is certainly, it's rich in, you know, football tradition, especially the, you know, Central Virginia's always had its share of talent. Especially looking at the Tidewater area is just a fantastic region, I guess, for high school football, always has been, probably always will be. It's just got a lot of talent coming out of that region, and as you mentioned, you know, there's a lot of out of state schools come in from kind of all different ranks, 1A, 1AA, and just come in and try to get some of that talent. You mentioned the Kent State programs and the MAC program certainly try to get in there as well. So and not just this year especially, I guess you look at Florida certainly tried to hit the state of Virginia hard and Miami's up there as well. So and Alabama has been in there. So it's been an interesting year certainly so far. And I think that it's just occurred to the state of Virginia. I think the state of Virginia has a lot of football talent. And it's certainly a good reason why Virginia Tech takes so much pride in trying to stay in state and getting that football talent as much as they can in state to go to Virginia Tech, especially out of they've had so much success out of the Tidewater area, and I guess you can see it translates on the field, and I think Virginia Tech's done a good job of doing that so far.
I lied, Chris. I did have one more question for you. When do you update? I know you do a preseason, and that's what I've been reading from, and then you reevaluate and throw some things in there. And when do you re-rank?
Actually, it's going to be after the new year, so I plan on doing it as soon as possible. I was hoping to get a few more videotapes in just to be able to evaluate a little bit more, but there is going to be a little bit of shaking going on in that top 30. I think just a name off the top of my head that's going to rise certainly in the ranks is Brent Vidson. The outstanding wide receiver cornerback out of Phoebus.
John Bivens from Prince George, I'm sure, will show up somewhere.
Exactly, John.
Well, we'll at least get consideration.
Outstanding season for Prince George this year, and just talking to a lot of area coaches that, it seems like he, is certainly the real deal. So he's going to be a kid that rises pretty high. And Keith Payne, the Virginia commitment out of Oakton High School, a running back, is probably going to rise a little bit. Don't know if Keith is going to make the top in my top 10, I guess specifically, but I think he will probably climb a few spots. But Brent Vincent, I guess, he just had an outstanding season this year for Phoebus and really showed, he displayed his athleticism at the Blacksburg Nike camp. It has a 6 foot, 6'1", 180 pounds, and ran a 4.39 in the 40 at Virginia Tech, and possesses a great vertical leap as well. And really kind of took his game to the next level this year. He played for the first year, played varsity football last year, and this year really kind of had a kind of capitalized on that and built upon that and had an outstanding season. So he's a kid I'm sure is going to be in that top 10. And as you mentioned, John Bivens had a great year as well. Is going to be rising in those ranks as well.
All right, Chris, we'll let you get out of here. Hope you have a happy and safe New Year's weekend and a great new year. We appreciate all your contributions with your TechSideline.com recruiting report, but I'm just thanking you for this year because next week we start a new year, and we'll have some more to chat about a week from tonight. We'll be on at 6 o'clock next week.
That's right. I look forward to it, Mike, and happy new year to everybody there. Thank you very much.